It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As voice of Chiefs Kingdom, he's seen the lowest of lows and the highest of highs.
You can doubt the Chiefs. You can dislike the Chiefs. You can disrespect the Chiefs. You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs.
Your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Here's Mitch Holthus with CDOT on The Drive.
We are very happy right now to be joined in studio by Mitch Holthus, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. He is presented by Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center. And also by GEHA. They are a proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch, I'm going to guess. I've never asked you this. Primetime games at Arrowhead, you've been doing it for 20 years. It still doesn't get old. Especially never. In the middle of everything that is going on in Kansas City. Like, yesterday was one of the probably 10 best sports days in Kansas City history when you think about the Royals and a Monday night football game. Obviously, there's been bigger days. AFC championship wins, Super Bowl wins. There's been bigger days in sports history, but yesterday was a really special day. Royals win, Chiefs win. Both teams played incredibly well. Optimism right now is at an all-time high, and you got to be in one of the two games.
And the weather was incredible. That crowd was unreal. Walking down that tunnel, I never get used to it. I'm never numb to it. It always feels like the first time. But when you walk down that tunnel, when I do pregame with the Field Pass show with Matt McMullen, and then doing the radio stuff, but I go down the tunnel, and it's a feeling like you've never done it before. It's just so exciting for Sunday night or Monday night football. But last night, the crowd was great. It was, you know, it was a crucial catch game. We had a special guest there, Greg Sharp, who's the voice of the Nebraska Cornhuskers, Blue Valley High School graduate. He did K-State for a long time, and he's done the Huskers for like 20 years. But he's got pancreatic cancer, stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And so we brought him and his wife and his 3 daughters in, and one of the daughter's fiancés. But it was just all of that. It was this feeling of emotion, and people were excited about the Royals. The Chiefs offense had their best volume game in a while, and it was just a good night all the way around.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Mitch Holthus, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. I would say that the theme of Monday Night Football, to me, it was maybe twofold. Let's start with the offense, and then we'll get to the defense. Kareem Hunt made... He played 64 games in Cleveland. He ran for 100 yards one time. He has been on the Chiefs for 17 days. He's already run for 100 yards for the Kansas City Chiefs. Juju Smith-Schuster had 260 yards in New England and got cut by, I believe, the worst wide receiver group in the National Football League. He comes to the Kansas City Chiefs, and he basically turned back into the Juju Smith-Schuster that helped this team win the Super Bowl. Yesterday, to me, was a testament to those guys. It was a testament to this front office and staff. It just feels a lot like New England during that time. You remember where New England would just find these guys, and they could just make it work with anybody. That's what we saw the Chiefs do yesterday.
Those two guys, we talked about all the happiness last night. There are no two happier humans on the planet right now than Kareem Hunt and Juju Smith-Schuster to be back with the Chiefs and in this environment. I talked to Kareem about it a week ago prior to this game, but then with Juju last night, and it felt like it was his birthday every day. He just talked about how unique the culture is, being in Andy Reid's offense, being surrounded by a group of guys that are very unique, humble but talented. There's all these underrated stories, but those two guys are thrilled to be back. I didn't think I would lose two bets in a row because I didn't think he'd have 27 carries last night, meaning Kareem Hunt. And then you throw in Samaje Perine. I think it's coming for him. He's going to bust out one of these weeks and have a big game. None of those three, C-Dot, spent a minute in St. Joseph. That's what's crazy. Now, don't anybody get the feeling of like, well, hey, training camp doesn't matter. But in the case of these three guys, the fact that they weren't in St. Joseph at all, no preseason, and right now we're relying on them is a remarkable story. And, yes, a testimony to Brett Veach, Andy Reid, but the rest of that locker room. Let me throw another one in there because this is a little bit off the line with that, but similar. We need to give some roses to the offensive line. They set the tone in that game. You know, the Saints came out and took the ball, and Dana and I were talking about this. They were kind of going to show some attitude, like, hey, we didn't come in here to roll over in the loudest stadium on the planet. Like, we're going to take the ball against a defense that has not given up 28 points in 26 games. To me, it was just like a little bit of attitude showing. But the Chiefs psychologically had been – the one ink blot on the defense had been they'd given up three touchdowns and a field goal in four drives. They were near the bottom on first defensive possessions. The Saints were the best team in the league on first possessions. To get that interception, and then the offensive line came out – with their hair on fire, psychologically just set the tone for the rest of the night. And then plug in Juju and Kareem and even Perine doing what he's doing.
What I loved most yesterday about the offense was I think that Andy and Nagy took the strengths of their offense and really highlighted them. You mentioned Kareem Hunt. He might be the freshest player in the National Football League. You gave him 27 touches yesterday, and he really got going. You talk about this team as they maybe spent more resources on tight end than any team in the National Football League with Travis Kelce. They just paid Noah Gray. You mentioned some of the other pieces that they have. Who do they highlight for the first 15 passing plays of the game? It was the tight ends. They use Juju in the role that I think he's best suited, a yards after catch. Mecole Hardman, hey, we're not going to have you run the ball or run routes downfield. Hey, we're going to give you the ball at the line of scrimmage, make a guy miss. He had four catches for 40 yards yesterday. I thought the offense yesterday really highlighted the individual skill set for their offensive players and put them in positions to have success. And I thought it was one of their more efficient days offensively they've had so far this season.
No question. It's a hallmark of Andy Reid's offense. We've seen it for 12 years now. It's a fantasy player's nightmare. It's a reality fan's heaven. I mean, it's a dream just because you have so many ways you can go and so many ways you can attack. Four tight ends eligible. They target Fortson right out of the way on an out pattern. And then, you know, to use the other guys, everybody that could have touched the ball, with the exception, I think, Sky Moore and Justin Watson. I think that was it. Everybody else got involved in the action. One thing I really like what they did last night, I mentioned this to Dana on the broadcast, was when they ran those wide receiver screens, which don't seem to be working around the league at all. You'll see like one guy trying to block two, and then they tackle the guy, the wide receiver, for a three-yard loss. They had Mecole Hardman on the move on those. There were two blockers out in front of him, but he was motioning out that way instead of just standing there, backing up a yard, catching it, and trying to restart. He was in motion and timed the snap where he's getting the ball and the flow of the play. I thought it was a great adjustment by Matt Nagy and Coach Reid in the fact that they ran those plays a little bit different with Mecole because it was more in sync and moving toward the defense instead of just standing there and trying to restart.
Right now, we're talking to Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. I know he threw an interception and didn't have a touchdown pass yesterday, but if you watch the game, that was as comfortable as I think we've seen Patrick over the course of the year. That felt like the guy who we all think is the best quarterback and the best player in the league. He made a couple of plays yesterday with his legs. If a guy wasn't open or creating more time with his legs, he just felt a lot more free yesterday to me.
And I think it's just taking some time. I mentioned to get used to these tackles, but also I think it's getting used to the fact he was so excited he was going to have Hollywood Brown, Isaiah Pacheco, and Rashee Rice, and now he doesn't have any of those guys. And she's thinking, okay, how are we going to do this? So that it just doesn't happen instantly for him or anybody else. So I think getting into the flow and getting more comfortable with what the Chiefs have now on the field will only get better as time goes on, even though the next two games are on the road. I saw it last night. I saw the same thing. There was just a comfort level or a flow. I keep going back to flow. The offense had more rhythm and flow to it than it's had in a while.
Do you think the Chiefs have the better run defense or pass defense? Because I've got numbers on both sides that just their ability to take away the other team's best option. Doesn't matter if it's Derrick Henry. Doesn't matter if it's Chris Olave. Doesn't matter if it's J.K. Dobbins. Like, they have stopped some of the best players in the National Football League so far this season and made them virtually useless for the most part.
It starts with the runners. Think about what they've done to the runners in this league. They face number two and number four in this league, but you look at they've faced Derrick Henry. You've got Bijan Robinson, 16 carries for 31 yards. Kamara has 11 carries for 26 yards. The guy came into the game the best all-purpose player in the league. First get back to have 3,000 yards rushing and 3,000 yards receiving. He has 66 total yards in that game. I mean, it's phenomenal what this defense is doing, and they're doing it at all three levels. I mentioned the strength is in their defensive rotation, that they can play so many different guys and not fall off a bit. Linebacker, there's not as many guys, but Nick Bolton's got his juice back. That play against Robinson in Atlanta, I think, just lit the fuse for him because he is not backed up at all. He's made explosive downhill plays, and he did it again last night. And then the DBs. Look what Jalen Watson is doing. Coach Reed talks about him tonight on the show in Coach's segment about – he mentions Watson specifically. Now, McDuffie, we just get to use the fact that that guy's one of the top three to four corners in the league. But when you get Watson playing the way he does and the way the safeties are playing, I mean, this is the best defense in the league, and we just don't even talk about it because we want to talk about offense all the time.
You mentioned a flow. The Saints, they never really got a flow going offensively. It's very similar to Atlanta, that their offense kind of goes the way the running back goes. If you get Bijan Robinson going, it's hard to stop Atlanta with all their other options. Same way kind of with the Saints with Alvin Kamara. He's a guy that can run for 80 yards and then hit you for 70 yards through the air. He had less than 75 yards from scrimmage yesterday. The Saints never really got things going offensively. Their offense really boiled down to me. It was one deep pass to Shaheed over the middle of the field. Outside of that, they didn't really have too many other big or explosive plays.
And the quarterbacks the Chiefs have faced need the running game to get into that flow. Think of Kirk Cousins. He needs it more than most. Derek Carr needs it more than most. That's not a knock on those guys, but for them to get to a comfort level and them to feel like, let's get some balance here, some pop and sizz to the offense, they've got to have some semblance of the running game. Brock Purdy's the same way. It's that San Francisco offense, which is what New Orleans is running. But if you look at the quarterbacks the Chiefs have faced, Lamar Jackson's an exception. The Chiefs shut down Derrick Henry, and Lamar Jackson accounts for 400 yards. He's different. But some of these quarterbacks they have played right now until Herbert gets healthy, he's the same way. Like, if they don't have a running game, it's hard to get the passing game going for them to get into a rhythm and flow and balance and trying to keep you off balance.
You are right in the fact that the Chiefs probably have, I would say, the three biggest stars in the league are Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and Travis Kelce, for just all varying reasons. Just the three biggest move the needles, pop culture, three biggest stars. I look at this team right now. I mean, their two best and most consistent players might be on the defense, and Trent McDuffie, and you named, and Chris Jones. Just another game in which Chris Jones is just unblockable. And you mentioned how they've done against the run. I mean, Zay Flowers had less than 40 yards. Jamar Chase had less than 40 yards. Chris Olave, who's probably a top 25 receiver in the league, he had 10 yards yesterday and just couldn't get open yesterday. You mentioned it. I know the offense is going to take up a lot of the attention, and they should. This team's defense has just been incredible for basically the last 18 months.
One of the top teams in the league, Chiefs, as well, in not allowing 20-plus plays. There's been some exceptions. Remember the play Isaiah Likely in the game against the Ravens. Or last night, Rashid Shaheed. He's one of the more underrated dudes in this league. He's got so many big plays, and he busts the post in the middle. But for the most part, when you look at these five games, teams have been void of big plays. And so wide receivers will get 100-yard receiving games if they can pop a big play. Think about Juju last night in this 50-yarder on his way to 130 yards. But if you're not allowing that receiver to get the big-time play, it's hard for them to get going. Now we're talking about a quarterback trying to get going. A receiver cannot get going, and the runners aren't getting going. The Chiefs have just smothered all of that, and it's, again, I don't think getting enough appreciation. We do, but I don't think outside in the rest of the NFL world they appreciate this Chiefs defense
right
enough.
Right now we're talking to Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. What are you noticing with the Chiefs in the red zone?
You have to attack. The red zone you have to attack it pylon to pylon. Again, it's arena football. It's at the 20, you have a 30-yard field goal, a 30-yard field, I'm sorry. But you must attack it from a horizontal standpoint. I got to put pressure on a defense from sea to shining sea. The other thing is, and I thought that this would be more of a factor to this point, I think this is where you hope that Jared Wiley can get going some, or maybe Jody Fortson. There is no restriction on airspace in the red zone, meaning that's why you throw fades. You throw a corner to the back pylon. You try to get plays where you get it up in the air and let your guy go and get it. It's why Mike Evans is a beast in the red zone. And so you look at the great red zone receivers down through the past, the go up and get it guys. And so I think as the Chiefs go on, they will look at maybe more ways to attack it all the way across 53 and a half yards of the field. But where do you get the elevation play? Is that Wiley? Is that Kelsey? Is that Fortson? Somebody, because that is a key as you go on in the red zone.
I know this is going to go unnoticed, and I know I can ask you this because you notice all of those things. One thing that really impressed me a lot yesterday with Travis Kelsey is, you know, I've had my questions about him long-term holding up and all those things, is he's still willing to do a lot of the dirty work. A lot of those runs to the outside, they were really fueled by him and Noah Gray and blocking, and him not just, hey, I'm out there to look like I'm blocking. I mean, no, I'm putting guys on the ground. I'm trying to create space. For a guy who has had all the success that he's had on the field and off the field and played as much football as he had, the fact that he's still willing to get his hands dirty, so to speak, and still kind of get there in the middle of it, I think that kind of energy just feeds to the rest of the team. And how you were able to fuel a guy like Kareem Hunt running yesterday was they had great down the field blocking from their tight ends.
I love what they're doing with three tight end sets. And now you got four tight ends with Fortson. But if you have three tight end sets and one of the three cannot block, it's a waste of time. So Noah Gray's improved. Wiley's got to get better. But Kelsey's been outstanding. I would tell you, and based on what I've, when I review the video, his best 2 years of blocking have been the last 2 years. And the fact that he doesn't get a hall pass in this offense by being, oh, you're the best tight end to ever play, don't worry about wham blocking or worry about Trump blocking on the perimeter. He has to have some he has to get in the wash many times. You can run a power set on offense, pull the guard inside, right, the power O inside play. But many times he has to block down Kelsey, or he's got to get the seal block on the outside to get Kareem Hunt going. He's been outstanding at it. And I'm glad you brought it up because it's way overlooked. But I love what they're doing. You can throw out of the three tight end sets because they have skilled tight ends. But if you don't have every one of those guys blocking, it doesn't do any good to have 50 tight ends. Everybody's got to do their job.
I want to ask you to kind of reflect just a little bit. And I know you would never do this during the season, but you know what? We're coming up on the bye week. And maybe, you know, next time I talk to you, have this answer. When you think about sports the way we are right now, this is maybe the most parity we have just seen across the board. You think of college football right now. Like, finding the 12 teams for the playoff is going to be really, really difficult.
Way to go, Vanderbilt. I love it. I love it that Vanderbilt beat them.
Because everything just seems so jumbled up. Right now in baseball, all four series are tied at 1-1 as we head into game three. You think about the NFL right now. There are 21 teams in the NFL that are either 2-3 or 3-2. Everybody just feels so jumbled up. How have the Chiefs been able to create this level of separation where it is not even arguable who the best team is in the league? They are not perfect by any means, but you're not taking Minnesota over this team. You're not taking the Commanders or some of the teams who are off to really, really strong starts. How have the Chiefs been able to stay so far of everybody else in the league when the league is not designed for one team to run away from the pack?
An incredible infrastructure. The rest of the league, instead of complaining about the Chiefs or nitpicking at the Chiefs, ought to emulate the Chiefs. You know the team that's trying to do it the best, in my opinion? The Detroit Lions. Brad Holmes is in lockstep with Coach Campbell. They've transformed the way the Lions have done business, much like that the way Andy Reid and starting with John Dorsey, but now Brett Veach, have transformed this whole franchise. There is such a strong infrastructure. When you look at Brett Veach and the comprehensive, not only the talent, but the work ethic of his staff, the way they handle the cap, the way that they work and find guys. You alluded to it with Juju and Kareem Hunt and Samaje Perine assimilating into the system so quickly. That part of that is Brett Veach and his staff. A lot of it is the coaching staff of Andy Reid. No team, in fact, it's hard to look at all of professional sports. Who has a better infrastructure when you look at a personnel department, a coaching staff, and Hall of Fame folks than the Kansas City Chiefs right now? Who in the NBA would have it? Me? I don't know. Who would it be? Infrastructure-wise.
I mean, maybe you would argue the Celtics. Maybe you would argue the Nuggets. But those teams have also just done it for a shorter period of time, and they just haven't had the high-end success the way the Chiefs have. The Chiefs have been the undeniable best team in the NFL for now almost 7 years,
It's impossible to do.
Which has just happened maybe like three times in league history this has happened.
And the times that this happened before, you didn't have a 17-game season, and you didn't have a fifth game against a number one team from the other conference. You didn't have any of that. That just made it so much harder, and the Chiefs are doing it so much better when it's so much harder. But it goes back to an incredible, unshakable infrastructure that's there that has enough wiggle room that it deals with flashpoints like the Chiefs are now. We're living something really incredible right now. Who in baseball has the infrastructure that the Chiefs would have at this point? Who in hockey's got it? I mean, it's just... you ask the question, and to me, it's undeniably the Chiefs in how solid they are at every point of the star.
It seems to me, and just following other teams, like you look at the problems that the Raiders are having, you look at the issues right now with the Jets, that the Chiefs have figured out the three hardest things to do.
How did Robert Saleh get fired?
You want my answer?
Well, I know. I think I know.
Yeah, okay, all right. I know if you really wanted me to answer.
I don't want that answer because I think he's a really good coach. But are they doing anything that's going to building an infrastructure so that the Jets can challenge the Bills in that division? You see that? I'm floored by that decision.
Yeah, to me, when I look at the Chiefs and I like look at the Chiefs have been able to do the three hardest things. They have everybody appearing to push in the same direction. They have created a culture. They have got everyone to buy into that culture, and they have bought into it for the last 7 years. And if at any moment they don't think you have bought into the culture, you will not be on the team anymore.
And they have rings and confetti in their hair. So what are we missing here? If you're an NFL team, you're an NFL owner, you're an NFL general manager, find the coach that you've got to yield some. I'm in some kind of power struggle.
That also goes to your Lions.
Or the quarterback.
The Lions have been able to do that too. Yeah.
The quarterback. The Lions are doing it right now. That's impressive because they've changed 50 years of culture by doing it or more. And the Chiefs did the same thing with Andy Reid. But I guess we're going to throw the quarterback in on this deal now. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Is it a quarterback situation with the Jets? I don't know. But Patrick Mahomes is part of this infrastructure because he thinks as like-minded as Andy Reid and Brett Veach every day in the way they do business. He's not chasing stats. He's like, if we're going to win 3-0, we'll figure it out. If I throw for 331, that's okay. But Patrick Mahomes thinks like a GM. He thinks like a coach. Andy Reid thinks like a quarterback or thinks like a player. And the rest of the league is just kind of spinning around and trying to figure it out.
Well, I mean, Mitch, I'll say this. Maybe you can't say it. I think we both know Patrick enough to know. You know what I know Pat would never do while football practice is going on? Take a vacation.
He ain't going to Egypt.
Never.
During mandatory minicamp.
Never.
Dude, he has his own camps. Like, if you're going to wear the red, you're like, hey, what are we doing on March the 10th? No, you're going to Dallas.
He has extra football practice for everybody.
Yeah. No. And you're all going, and you're all going to like it. And you're going to go TAs, and you're going to love mandatory minicamp, even though it's June. And you ain't going on vacation. You're going to go on vacation when training camp, before training. And by the way, when you go to St. Joseph, polish your shoes and snap your chin strap because it's going to be every day of work. But we're going to have fun while we're doing it. That's why this buy is huge. People have asked me. It's my minute with Mitch this week. And I'm going to tape it tomorrow at 41. People go, it's too early, man. It's too early. Week 5. No, it's not. No, it's not. Not for a team that's played 46 games in 2 1/4 years. Nobody's been busier than the Chiefs. And it's not just during these runs. It's during the offseason because Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, work so hard during the off season. The throttle has been stuck wide open since, I don't know, Super Bowl 54. It just feels that way, and it's great. But it's like we're all just running this big, running the marathon or the Tour de France. So when you get a break, take a couple days off. This is huge for this team to do it because they're going to get right back on the track like a pit stop in a NASCAR race and rev it up again. But that's what these guys are doing. And again, but I'm glad that we got to the quarterback because in all that infrastructure talk I just gave you, I shouldn't have left him out because a quarterback can throw all that off. A wide receiver trying to be the highest paid cat and going to be, I'm just holding out of everything, can throw all that off. In talking with folks in the Cincinnati organization, it has been no fun for them in this offseason and training camp. You can throw it off. The Chiefs have not had that or very little of that in the time that Andy Reid's been the head coach here.
That is Mitch Holtz, his voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us on the show. He is presented by Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center and also by GEHA. They are a proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch, enjoy your bye week. I look forward to catching up with you in a couple weeks.
I shall enjoy this bye week. It is going to be enjoyed at a high level. Let's just put it that way. I'm disappearing and escaping, so don't try to find me.
All right, we will not find you. Okay. That is our guy, Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up on the other side, two GMs that are doing an incredible job of getting their team to this point. We'll go through some of the moves they've made of late. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Coming up in a little bit, Rob and I are going to have a draft that I think will amuse you. In the 5 o'clock hour, Josh Vernier will be on the show. We'll keep talking Royals and Chiefs the rest of the way. I want to spend the next 10 minutes or so making sure that we give the proper respect to Brett Veach and J.J. Piccolo for what they have done over the course of the last 60 days. And in some of these cases, an even shorter amount of time. Let's put into proper perspective what Juju Smith-Schuster just accomplished yesterday on Monday Night Football. Juju with the New England Patriots had 260 yards and averaged 9 yards a catch. He scored one touchdown with the New England Patriots. He got cut heading into his second year of a three-year deal. The Patriots are still paying for Juju Smith-Schuster to not play on their team. For a team that is now about to start a rookie quarterback, for a team that doesn't have a lot of playmakers, a whole lot of weapons, the Patriots gave up on Juju Smith-Schuster and said it is not worth it anymore. Juju joins the Chiefs and has 100 yards within a month of all of this happening. and yesterday was one of the better players on the field. That looked like the Juju that played in the second half of the Super Bowl against the Philadelphia Eagles. That's the Juju Smith-Schuster that the Ravens and the Chiefs wanted when he was leaving Pittsburgh, is feeling like he can be a piece that can help you get over the hump. That's what he looked like yesterday. Kareem Hunt has been available for any team in the National Football League for the last 5 months. At any point, the Cowboys could have got Kareem Hunt. The Cowboys cannot run the football. At any point over the course of the last 5 months, the Las Vegas Raiders, who also don't have a running back, could have got Kareem Hunt. There are so many teams right now that cannot run the football, are not effective at running the football, could have used Kareem Hunt. Many of them probably thought what I thought about Kareem Hunt. Man, that guy's done. Guy's averaging less than 3.5 yards per carry the last two seasons. Sure, maybe he can be a short yardage guy, but we've already got a short yardage guy. Maybe we can't use him. He doesn't really fit here. Guy ran for 100 yards yesterday. I know it doesn't seem like it's a long time. He played 5 seasons with the Cleveland Browns. 5. That's how long ago it was. All of the things around it. 5 years. He had one 100-yard rushing game with the Cleveland Browns. He had one yesterday in Monday Night Football. He's been on the team for 3 weeks. These are moves that you had to make up for the injuries that have happened. Football is a next man up. It is an attrition business. The Chiefs have faced attrition better than any team in the league. Sure, you're going to lose Christian McCaffrey. We got Jordan Mason. We can plug him in. You lose a guy like Isaiah Pacheco. You have a rookie in Carson Steele who was the talk of training camp. It doesn't end up working out the way that you think it was. It's okay. Let's go to the waiver wire and let's go get Kareem Hunt, a guy who knows this offense, a guy that fits into our locker room, fits into our culture, a guy you know is going to give us 110%. It worked for them. Samaje Perine also was available. You could have got Samaje Perine. The Chiefs picked him up and they made it work. Mecole Hardman went to the New York Jets, was terrible with the Jets. Could not help them in any capacity. They could not find a role for him. Chiefs found a role for him. He was pretty good in that role yesterday. You're going to be an extension of our run game. We're going to give you the ball in screen plays. Get the ball to the outside. You make a guy miss. He didn't have the greatest game. 4 catches for 33 yards. You'll take that. You'll take 150 from Juju, and Mecole gives you this, and Samaje Perine gives you this, and Kareem Hunt gives you this, and then your star, Travis Kelce, plays like a star. That's how you win games in the face of all the injuries that happened yesterday. The Chiefs deserve a lot of credit for a team that has had uncertainty at left tackle in the first part of the season, uncertainty at running back, certainly uncertainty in that wide receiver room. For you to still be 5-0 with so many moving parts, with so many different players, with so many different things that are going on, is a testament to the culture that you have created in your locker room and the system that you have put together. We laugh and joke about how the Chiefs just, they have a certain type. They do have a type. If the Chiefs got DeMarcus Robinson back, he would work again in this system and be better than he even is with the Jets right now. And he's playing pretty well with the Jets. Just, you know this system. We know you. We are happy to bring you back, and it will just work. They got the Midas touch. This is like how the Royals were in 14 and 15. It's just been going on for a significantly longer amount of time. Rob, you remember back in 14 and 15, it just didn't matter what Dayton Moore did. It was just going to work. It's just worked with the Chiefs. We let this guy go. We've got another guy to replace him. Hey, this guy gets injured. Hey, you were unemployed. Come play for us. We'll make it work. That's what yesterday was. Yesterday was a make it work game. Yesterday was, we got Travis Kelce and a bunch of other pieces, and Patrick, you and that team will figure it out. And that's exactly what they did yesterday offensively. Juju played his best game in 2 years. Kareem Hunt, that's as good as he's looked since the last time he was here in Kansas City. Mecole Hardman hasn't been that focal point of an offense, and they figured out a way to make all of it work. And on the Royals side of things, we got Vern joining us here coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. This was a team that at two separate times since the trade deadline, or I guess around the trade deadline, so late July, needed something. You remember, around the trade deadline, what the Royals desperately needed was bullpen arms. You knew they didn't have enough. If they were going to make the postseason, they needed a little bit more in the bullpen. They took some swings. You got Hunter Harvey. You got Lucas Erceg. You got Michael Lorenzen. You took some swings. You found your closer that way. Whenever Vinny went down with an injury, you needed to find a couple of bats and some pieces that could help fill the void if he wasn't going to come back. You went out, you got Tommy Pham. You got Robbie Grossman. You also went out there and you got Yuli Gurriel. Two of the three of those moves have worked out for you. They're not the biggest moves. They're not going to get the breaking news on SportsCenter. They're not going to stop baseball. I mean, Tommy Pham has two RBIs in the postseason and stole a base. He's been critical to what you've been doing. Gurriel right now is hitting in your 5-6 spot. He's been one of your key producers in driving runs in so far this postseason. Michael Lorenzen started a postseason game. Lucas Erceg is your closer. We're talking about guys that were added over the course of the last 90 days on whether it's been the Chiefs and the Royals. And you are not batting 1,000 with all of these moves. The Royals have missed on a couple of moves. Maybe the Chiefs have also missed on a couple of moves, pickups, guys you thought were going to be able to contribute a little bit more. But, Rob, you said it. If you take enough swings and you take enough picks, enough opportunities, you bring enough guys in, if you've got a solid culture and foundation, you're going to get a couple of those things to work. The Chiefs have the best culture and best foundation of any team in the National Football League. You got two guys who were off the scrap heap, guys who got completely disregarded. Teams that could have used either one of these players. You bring them back to your system, you make it work. You made it work with Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt right now is playing like a top 10 back in the league if we're going off the last 2 weeks. He's been incredible. Juju looked done in New England. He has almost half the yards that he had of all last season with the New England Patriots. He got that in one game last night. That's a testament to the Chiefs and the Royals, their front office, their staff, and the culture that both teams have created for themselves. All right, Rob, coming up in a bit, we're going to be joined by Josh Vernier coming up in 20 minutes. I am going to challenge you to a draft. I will explain the rules of the draft coming up. Keep right here, it's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
We're going to be joined by Josh Vernier here coming up in a bit. Our Royals insider, Vern, will be on the show every day that baseball season is still going on. We'll also get to the Chiefs coming up at the top of the hour in the hits. I want to give you guys a stat, though, very quickly. Did you know that Aaron Judge has struck out in 34% of his plate appearances in the postseason? 34%. That is just one form of an out. That is not counting a weakly hit ground ball. That is not counting a fly out. I am just saying when he steps up to the plate, he has struck out 34% of the time in postseason games. You can argue that Aaron Judge is the best baseball player in the world. He certainly is in that conversation. He's the biggest star in the biggest city in the United States. But something happens in the postseason, and he turns into a completely different human being. So you know what, Rob? I am going to challenge you to a draft. Usually in the postseason, we highlight the guys who are clutch. The Patrick Mahomes who take you down the field with WASP. The Tom Brady's calm, cool, and collected. The Madison Bumgarner, the David Ortiz. The guys who step up big time in the postseason. That's not what I want to do with this segment. I want to highlight those individuals, those teams who have always come up small in the postseason. This is first team all playoff disappointment, Rob. Hit the music. You know what, Rob? I'm going to give you the first pick. We're going to do a starting five. I pick five. You pick five. We'll see who has created the best team. I want your all playoff disappointment. I'm not here to talk about the guys who have taken their teams down the field. Joe Montana, the catch with Dwight Clark. No, I'm talking about the guy you know who is going to throw three interceptions in the postseason and get you eliminated.
And this is all time, correct?
All sports, time.
All time. Charles Barkley, first pick in the draft.
Oh, my. Barkley?
What is Barkley most known for other than being on television? Coming up short every single time.
I can't believe you.
Barkley?
Barkley is the most notable non-title guy maybe in sports. Barkley, 1-1.
Okay, all right, that's fine. You know what? With the number two overall pick, I'm going to take James Harden with the number two overall pick. You can always count on him. And you know what? I am going to circumvent the rules just a little bit here. You know who I'm taking with my second pick? I'm taking the Moneyball Oakland A's. You want to talk about a team that would win 105 games in the regular season and then get swept in the first round of the playoffs? It was those Billy Bean teams. You remember it. They had Zito, Mulder, Hudson, Miguel Tejada, Jason Giambi. Oh, my goodness. They were going to lose every single playoff game that they were in. I am going to take James Harden. I'm also going to take the Moneyball early 2000 Oakland A's on my first team all playoff disappointment.
Love where your head is at by being different. I'm going to stay different as well. Ryan Day, I know he's a coach, but what was it Jim Harbaugh said? Not everyone. Some people were born on third and still couldn't score, whatever that quote was. Ryan Day took a winner from Mr. Nasty Man Urban Meyer and made it not bad, but they haven't gotten any better. They're always wildly talented and always a Final Four exit. So Ryan Day, and I have the back-to-back here, Mike Trout. Mike Trout's the best player in baseball year after year after year.
Hold on here. I got to call a timeout here. Can you be first team all playoff disappointment if your team never makes the postseason?
Does he have a postseason win?
No, he has zero. But he's only had three chances to get one.
Bobby Witts had what? Four chances?
Okay. He already does have a couple. No, you're right. I can't believe you're giving me the value for this individual. I'm going to take Alex Rodriguez here. I mean,
hold on. He has multiple World Series.
Taking Alex Rodriguez there. I'm taking Alex Rodriguez. And with the seventh overall pick, I am going to take Indianapolis Colts Peyton Manning.
You like to massage the rules a little bit here as you go.
I created the game. I'm taking Indianapolis Colts Peyton Manning. You know who Indianapolis Colts Peyton Manning hated to see? He hated to see the San Diego Chargers coming down the line. Oh, he was good for one touchdown, two interceptions back in that day. Don't let Bill Belichick and Tom Brady show up. The Colts offense would score 90 points against everybody. They would then lose 31-3 to the New England Patriots in the postseason. Yes, I will take I'll take any version of Alex Rodriguez. Texas Rangers Alex Rodriguez, New York Yankees Alex Rodriguez. I'm also going to take Indianapolis Colts Peyton Manning, all-time playoff choker.
I love your heads. These are my final two picks, and I got to make sure I hit these just right, but I feel good about them. Jim Kelly.
Oh, goodness. Why are we doing Jim like this?
I feel bad because by every metric, Jim Kelly's one of the nicest people to ever meet. But, man, you cannot go to the Super Bowl four times and lose every single time. And it seemed to always be heartbreaking fashion. Wide right, the whole thing. Just Jim Kelly has to make the list. And Patrick Ewing is my final pick. I know that
I was thinking about taking Pat.
I was being a little unfair with Barkley at 1-1 because Jordan just dominated the era. But when Ewing had a chance in the post-Jordan era to carry his team to the NBA Finals, you know what he did? He bricked a literal layup. Wide open layup. Dunk it home, big man. Nope. Off the back iron. Knicks lose. Knicks lose. Knicks lose. Patrick Ewing's my final pick.
I can't believe you would give me this player with the last pick. Give me your team right now. For those of you that are listening, we are not highlighting the guys who have had great postseason success. This is not the segment for the Bradys, for the Mahomes, for the Montana. This is for people on the opposite end of the spectrum. Who has come up small in postseasons? Aaron Judge has struck out on 34% of his plate appearances in the postseason. He's fraudulent. Give me your starting five, Rob.
My starting five was Charles Barkley, Mike Trout, Ryan Day, Patrick Ewing, and Jim Kelly.
I can't believe you're going to give me this player with the last pick. You're going to give me Lamar Jackson? Of course. Two-time MVP who plays like Ryan Tannehill when it gets cold? I'll take Lamar. I feel great about it.
I feel like I smoked that draft. I feel really good about it.
At least Jim Kelly will get you to the finals. At least Barkley will get you to the finals. Lamar ain't even getting you there.
You picked Colts Peyton Manning. He went to multiple Super Bowls.
Yeah, should have went to six of them while he was there. It's a loser.
Now, James Harden was a good pick.
You know, James Harden is he was the inspiration of this. You think it was Aaron Judge? No, it was Game 6 James Harden.
Although, is it fair? There is an establishment that has James Harden's jersey in the rafters.
Yeah.
Not known for the basketball, but there are athletes.
Yeah. Marquee in Vegas. Can't wait. You can already see it. It's getting to May. It's getting late in the season. James Harden's like, man, I don't want to be here anymore. You know, let me just go ahead and shoot 3 for 17, and let me just go ahead and get this playoff series over with so I can go hang out at the Palms Hotel in Las Vegas. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we'll recap yesterday's Monday night win for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll also be joined by Josh Vernier. We're talking Royals and Chiefs. We're covering both games here on The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.